This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
It's nice to see your face. I feel like last time I opened the lockdown record with I associate you with lockdown, therefore I am unexcited to see you, but I am very excited to see you today. It's been a long time.
It has been a very long time. Can I say, in terms of hating things in lockdown, I want to confess something.
Oh, because, I love it already.
I had to do a little care package drop to somebody, to an elderly friend, a little earlier today, and I did not realise that today there were some fools in the world who were protesting against the lockdowns. Aww. And I did have my small daughter in the car, and you know when you think, I'm doing okay, like I'm chill about the world, yeah, like this lockdown I'm doing well, done my juice cleanse, oh, you know, God. I'm keeping everyone.
I want to come back to the juice cleanse. Keep going.
So cross, Catherine. I saw them parked outside the kindergarten with their fancy SUVs and their Australian flags.
Why are they at the kindergarten?
I getting cross. And then when I saw the rest of them at the local shop, not my suburb, might I say, a couple of suburbs over, I got so cross that I stopped the car. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe I'm recording this. I stopped the car in the middle of the road. I put down my window. And I hurled abuse across my 8-year-old daughter.
Oh, my God.
Shocked at me, at this woman with her little, you know, it was probably Comic Sans too. Maybe that's what made me angry, with her little sign in her little bloody zippy car saying lockdown kills, masks kill.
Oh, my God.
And I was so cross that I stopped the car. I leaned on my horn and I just screamed at her. And then I realised what I was doing. And then
Okay, I have to ask, because we are never the most articulate in these rage-filled moments. What did you actually yell?
I don't. I think I pointed with a finger and I was like, what are you doing, you absolute fool? Like, I was so filled with rage that even I went and dropped my care package. I didn't let the elderly friend know that I was filled with rage. I did say, oh, my God, I'm going to go and buy some eggs. We'll go back, Etta, and we'll egg them. And Etta said, Mum,
who are you?
Who am I, Catherine? I did not know that there was so much rage in me.
God. I feel like
that was therapy, and I'm sorry. And I tell you what, if any of our listeners, you know, every listen counts, but if you did go to an anti-lockdown protest, goodbye. You are no longer our friend. You can bugger off right now.
I feel like the depths of rage are really being plumbed. This is why I've removed Twitter from my phone. Is because of particularly the New South Wales-Victoria interaction regarding, which brings out the worst in everybody.
It's just terrible. It brings out the worst. Yeah. I do like leaning into, I remember being advised at one point, maybe when I was a much more anxious person, that you get like some of the good, you get good hormones, good chemicals when you do good things for other people. And so I'm always like, when the rage comes, I'm like, quick, bake something for someone. Quick, drop some mandarins to the neighbors. Quick, check in on someone before the rage overtakes you.
Oh my God. Yep. If anyone was in the area and saw Kate yelling, I would pay for that footage. I seriously would. Okay, so I said I removed Twitter from my phone, and I did that basically. I still am logging on a bit on my computer. I did that at the start of lockdown, but one of the last tweets that I read was your tweet saying that you were about to do a juice cleanse. I'd like some advice. Is a juice cleanse a good thing to do in lockdown?
Well, can I say the juice cleanse was booked with my mate who I work out with, but it was for the Monday post Yarra Valley Writers Festival, which was planned to be an in real life event with a party and various drinks. And, you know, I was planning for Festival Kate and how she gets a little bit excited. For anyone who's been at me with at recent festivals, you'll know that I do like the social events as well. And so I was planning for a nice big cleanse after my crazy festival weekend. Of course, the festival, the darling people of Yarra Valley Writers Festival, had to turn their in-real-life festival into a virtual festival in 24 hours when we were locked down on the Thursday night and it was due to start on the Friday. That's another story and one I'll mention in a minute. But so my good mate who had ordered the juice cleanse did send a text and say, okay, how are we feeling about this? How are we feeling about lockdown and juice cleanse? I was only doing 3 days. She was doing five, might I add. I've done this before. And I leaned right into it. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Lean into the pre-period as well? Because I feel like the benefit of the juice cleanse is also the benefit of the period of time before the juice.
I must admit there may have been a point in the afternoon of the Yarra Valley Writers Festival just before I had a conversation with Sally Hepworth where I looked and I had tea and I also had an empty bottle of wine from the previous day and whiskey and a bottle of water. I was like, all the liquids to get me.
Everything's covered.
So, yeah, I did lean into the pre-period. Look, it has... on about day two, the evening of day two, I certainly reach a point where I have enormous clarity and energy. I think that's my body starting to shut down because of the lack of calories.
I feel like I have a juice cleanse in me. I'm just wondering, like, if you had to pick between two out of three, lockdown, juice cleanse, and homeschool, what two of those... You have two, but not the other. Like, what would you turf? I would turf homeschool. I feel like most people would be like...
I would do anything to not have to homeschool. Almost. I'm going to say that. Don't tweet us about that. But, like...
That would be a good thing, like a good binary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think now, do you know that on Friday we reached, here in Melbourne, a total of 6 months of hard lockdown. Like, we have spent 6 months worth of our lives in the last 18 months in hard lockdown, in stage four lockdown, I believe. Someone told me that again, maybe fact check us.
It feels like it.
It feels like that. But so I think all of those little moments that you go, oh, I really, this is nice about lockdown, they are gone now. They are gone. And the homeschool is part of that. It is just gone. Take my children back because I can't write when they're here. Can you write?
No, not at all. I mean, it's probably demonstrative. If we have gotten you, who's probably one of the nicest people I know, to be yelling out car windows and debating egging people, like there's an unraveling that
can I just say,
is required to get to this point.
I'm the nicest person because I've actually raised this with a couple of close friends recently. Not you, but I'm raising it now. But I forget that I'm also raising it with everyone who listens. I feel like I've got a bit of a teacher's pet vibe happening around me at the moment, that I am really nice. And I just want everyone to know that it is not entirely true. Like, I can be really mean sometimes. I just want you all to know that even though I come across as really nice, I can also be like total bad girl. So just I feel like for the next 6 months I really want to work on my bad
girl.
You
want to work on your edge. Yeah.
So I'm bringing back some edge. So I just, if the first
watch
time
this space, motherfuckers.
Maybe that's why I inadvertently told that story at the start. I didn't think about that, but I have raised this issue with a couple of people. I'm at heart, I'm a bad girl.
We'll see.
So you can't write. What have you been doing? Tell us book news.
God. I feel like this is a reveal of my mental state. Reading. Have you listened to the Sentimental Garbage podcast that everyone's been talking about? Carolyn O'Donoghue, Dolly Alderton, they do a 6-part series on Sex and the City. That seems to be the episodes that everybody has listened to. If you go back a little further in the season, you will hear Carolyn O'Donoghue interview a friend and they talk about a Maeve Binchy book. Do you know much about Maeve Binchy? Well,
I had my own period of Maeve Binchy reading.
Did you?
I
mean, so you are.
Yeah, they're at Mum and Dad's house, I think. And they're not in my bookshelf, but earlier in my life. My definitely. God.
Well, Maeve Binchy is where I'm at. I think I have bought 6 or 7 of Maeve Binchy's books on Kindle.
Like recently. So this is not you returning to Maeve Binchy. This is you for the first time doing Maeve Binchy.
I think I had read, maybe I had read 1 or 2
surely everyone
eons ago. But this is like a back-to-back. It's like, I don't know what it's like, but it's great.
Is it feeling good?
Oh, nothing bad ever happens with
Binchy. It's like mac and cheese. It's, Maeve Binchy is like mac and cheese.
It's really nice. It's also, it's a real comfort read. I don't know, like it's not going to last forever. She's dead, so she's like not bringing out any books.
Yeah.
But it's a simpler world too because hardly any of them have mobile phones. And
it is nice to go to slip back in time to a little Maeve Binchy.
Do you have a comfort read? Like, do you have a simple comfort?
You know, I reckon I used to. I reckon as a kid, oh my gosh, this is going to reveal so much about me. But as a kid, I was really into the Brian Jacques Redwall series. Oh my gosh, I don't even know how that name came to me because I was thinking inside my head, Kate, you're about to mention this and you're not going to remember. They were a little kind of fantasy series, a little bit Duncton Wood, would we say? My dad's a massive fan of Duncton Wood. And what's the rabbits one? And the rabbits that jump around. Watership Down. He's a fan of Watership Down.
Oh, I remember Watership Down.
Yeah, so it's a bit that. But the Brian Jacques Redwall series, they're like little animals that like live in a kingdom. I know, right? Against type. But I was really into them. And I remember returning to them as I started like to head into more YA and then adult territory reading because I was a somewhat precocious reader, as my grade one teacher, Mrs. Mullen, said, we've talked about this. I don't know if she listens to the podcast, but she has read my books and got in touch, which was very lovely.
Oh, that's so lovely.
So fantasy series with animals. But I don't now. You know why? Because there's like 30 books next to my bed, Catherine, and there's 100,000 books in here, and there's so many books to read that I don't allow myself a good old comfort read.
A lot of people do reread. I feel like similarly for me, that was more a primary school thing. I remember reading The Babysitter's Club a lot, for example.
Yes. Yeah, actually, repeat. I don't know if this is happening in your house at the moment, but Gracie has gone back to the series, the Babysitter's Club series, which was terrific. On Netflix, maybe, and the redone graphic novels of Baby.
Tilly is also reading the redone graphic novels. Very
and then
good.
We were at my mother-in-law's a couple of weeks ago when you were allowed to move. I found my sister-in-law's original Babysitters because I don't know where mine are. And I said to Gracie, look here, this is the original. But she was like, oh, why is the font like that?
Kind of a lame premise, really. Oh, like. Quite a lot lame, really. Yeah, hardcore into them.
Really?
Go ahead, every single one.
Every single one. We should do a breakaway separate series. I'm sure someone's done it already on Babysitter's Club. Okay, so that's what you're reading.
Yes. My next to be read, however, is Alice Pung's 100 Days.
Mate, that's what I had lined up to say that's what I'm reading or what I have just read. And because I got to talk to Alice with Alice Robinson for the Yarra Valley Writers Festival, which I'll break in right now to say Yarra Valley Writers Festival was ace, saved my first weekend of lockdown. It is virtual. They couldn't put everyone on the program on their virtual program, which was a shame, but they did do an incredible job of getting lots on really quickly. But you can still buy tickets until Friday the 30th of July. So you can buy the virtual ticket. It's only $65 for the whole weekend, and it is literally 14 hours of viewing or listening, however you want to do it. And it was a really good program. Like Vic Hannon and Jesse Too with Claire Strawn talking on sex and power and grief. Amazing. My mum, after listening to that, mum called me and she was like, I want every book that was mentioned in that. Can you order me every book that was mentioned in that? Evelyn Arrowluen and Tony Birch with Kate Kennedy, you know, my idol, Kate Kennedy.
Amazing.
So many good ones. So many good ones. And I talked to Sally Hepworth at the end as well and she was terrific. But to go back, so people, we'll put that link in our show notes you can yourself still listen to the Yarra Valley Writers Festival. Alice's book, 100 Days, is not only just a brilliant read, compelling, excellent, you can read it in an afternoon, especially in lockdown. For the writers who listen to us, which is probably all of you.
No one else is really listening.
My friends, Shay, I know you're listening. It is just a masterclass in how
she's
to
brilliant. I think she's one of those people that whenever I see on a program, see in a podcast, here is on something, I am ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Totally into it. So humble and lovely and clever and just, fantastic.
If you have not read, people, if you have not read 100 Days yet, do yourself a favour and get yourself a copy. That's my latest read as well. Okay, that's what we're reading. What have you been watching, Catherine?
Do yourself a favour. I like it. My watching. Is it Molly Meldrum that says that? Is that a Molly Meldrumism?
Is I don't that, know. I really, I wasn't.
Okay, so I have been watching Starstruck on the ABC. Have you heard of this?
I have not. Oh, what is it?
It's so sweet. It is kind of the opposite of the Notting Hill premise in that you have a very, very famous man and a civilian type female, both protagonists in their late 20s, set in London. The girl whose name escapes me, I think is a New Zealander, but just light and lovely and genuinely funny and in the same bucket as Maeve. Better than Maeve. Better than Maeve. They should do that as their, like, banner.
Better than Maeve. That's it. Yeah. I reckon they'll use that from here on in. The ABC is coming for you, Catherine Collette. Okay, Starstruck. So different vein entirely, what we've been binge-watching in this house. I was recommended by one of my delightful writers group WhatsApps. This new one is with my housemates from Margaret River, Ian Ryan, who, as everyone now knows, because we released an episode with him, is a pretty funny guy, and Chris Flynn, who can be funny. They recommended.
Oh, Chris Flynn, not that funny. Just like,
funny as Ian Ryan.
Funny on occasion.
So they recommended Catla. Which is because I said I had been missing Scandi Noir, or that Scandi Noir is my thing. Oh my gosh, so good. Set in Iceland around a volcano, a real volcano, Katla. So very atmospheric, very cool, like those things are when you are in lockdown, to transport yourself to another landscape entirely. And it's very placey in terms of the way it's filmed. The kind of the way I've explained it to a couple of friends is, what if there was science behind the folklore, is the kind of premise. So it's eight
good
series.
Premise.
It's very cool. Plot, the story's done really well. Acting is brilliant. I don't know if you're addicted to Scandi series as I am, but what I'm really into is how much they drink coffee all the time. They just drink coffee all the time. In every single one of them, there is just so much coffee drinking. It really, I don't know, it does something to me a little bit. It's a bit of Maeve. It just soothes me. All the coffee drinking in the skin.
There are some of those great, great map books that have maps of the world and they divide the world into two different things. And I remember one is coffee drinkers and tea drinkers. Ah. And so they'll have, like, you can kind of see where the boundaries are of, it's almost sometimes of like colonization and things like that based on, or climate, you know, depending on what the things. Another one was potatoes and tomatoes. Ha! Like if people are potato eaters or tomato eaters. It's very good. Nice.
I like that.
Scandis are definitely in the coffee bucket.
Oh, they are so in the coffee bucket. Yeah, so Catla on Netflix. Get into a little bit scary. I don't know if you and Carney do this, but sometimes I make Adam watch the scary bits and I have to cover my eyes. Like high tension, not violence I can
so
handle.
Hard.
I can handle like kind of crazy, spooky things I can handle. It's the like walking in up the steps into the dark and knowing that someone's about to jump out, cannot handle the tension. So I have to close my eyes and then make him like image describe what's happening, which he finds very frustrating, obviously.
Yes. awful for everyone, unenjoyable for everyone. But yeah, I remember attempting to do that with The Handmaid's Tale, but I think I only lasted about 2 minutes in the whole, like the tension in that is just
So brutal. If you're already after tense brutal. In lockdown, maybe this isn't
yes.
this
one for you. Maybe not relaxing.
Or if you're on your own and you haven't got someone to image describe what's happening on the screen while you cover your eyes, again, wait until lockdown's over.
Speaking of the famous Ian Ryan,
yes,
the Taylor Swift theory. We had referred to this a couple of times, and you had never explained it to me in full. But in our last episode, Kate interviews Ian, and he talks through the Taylor Swift theory. Do you want to give a bit of an overview of what it is, a cheat sheet?
So the cheat sheet for the Taylor Swift theory is that basically Taylor Swift has it all, right? She's got talent, bucket loads of talent. She looks like a superstar pop star. She, I think Ian calls it, she doesn't have toxic luck. So she, you know, the cards have fallen in her favor in her life. He also refers to the fact that she is white, privileged, able-bodied, the rest of it. So she's got that package already. And then she has something extra. And her extra is that she makes everyone who meets her fall in love with her. And that's part of her ongoing and extraordinary appeal, her audience engagement. And that's why she's such a superstar. And it's really interesting because on Twitter, which you haven't seen because you weren't on it, there was some different responses. So some people were like, really enjoyed the episode, but the Taylor Swift theory made me depressed because
that was my initial response.
I could never be Taylor Swift.
Like, it's not enough to be good. We have to be charismatic and 100 other things as well.
Yeah. Whereas I think, and then other people were like, no, you just have to work out what your something extra is and lean into that. So it might not be that you are super charming and charismatic and can make everyone fall in love with you. That might not be your superpower, but you've got to work out what your superpower is. And I like that. I like that, in terms of marketing, because there is a bunch of very talented people out there and a bunch of very ambitious people out there, a bunch of people who can write if we translate this to the writing world. But you've got to work out what your something extra is. And, you know, the other thing is that I take from it, and the thing that really appealed to me straight up when he told me about it, is the idea of the power of audience engagement, and that you can't make everyone love you. Your book is not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but it's going to be somebody's cup of tea. And if you can engage with that person and then they become a massive fan, then that hasn't. We've talked about this before, because isn't that in one of
your
crazy books?
There's Good Tools of Titans. Book. There isn't. I can't remember his name. I feel like it's got a K. It's a K and a K. But he coined that theory of the 100 superfans.
Yes.
Sort of thing. And as long as you're selling to the 100, your 100 superfans, then I think the challenge for writers is, like, I think in a business context it works better because you have more things to sell. Whereas writing, you have like one thing to sell and then a break of 4 years.
It's so true.
And then, you know, another thing to sell. Unless you are putting out a book a year.
Yeah, which that's true. Those of us who can do such things.
That sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Talking about how many you write and when they come out, that was a really bad segue. When is your book coming out?
Wow, I have an updated release date. It's coming out in February of next year.
February is a nice month. We like it.
I think it's good. I think it will slip in just before my 41st birthday.
Double party? Because, you know, like by that stage we'll be dancing in the streets like licking each other because, you know, we're all vaccinated and it will be on.
Well, this year I had thought we would be out, but we were in... Melbourne was not quite in lockdown, but we were in very restricted. This was like the day of the souvlaki. I don't know if I've mentioned this previously, but I was having people over. And we were having a spit roast. And so we had ordered all this souvlaki meat, and then we went into lockdown.
Oh,
and so Kani and I still put the souvlaki on because they had threaded it on the stick.
Else can you do?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
How long
I can't
did you
even
eat the
look.
Souvlaki meat for?
Well, the kids certainly ate it for a long time. I guess the worst thing about being a kid is that your parents can make you eat whatever, whereas if you're an adult, you can pick and choose. We ate a lot of it. Those poor children were subjected to even more.
Do you know I became a vegetarian after one such event? It must have been a 40th. Now I think of it, I was like, oh, my God, my parents were so young. But our friends lived up in Mafra. Shout out to you, Jade and Lee and Kim, if you listen to this podcast. And we got flooded in and they were having a 40th, big party, like big country party. And we had a whole lamb on a spit and the road flooded and we got in and then no one else came in. So our two families ate the whole lamb.
Oh, and, my God.
Wow, I can still kind of taste the grease in my mouth. Anyway, for a long time
it's,
after that.
It's really good and then it's too much. Like it, yeah. It has at a quick point curve on it.
Sorry, yeah. Go back.
Brutal.
Go back
brutal.
To the party that you're going to have in February to launch
yes.
your new book.
The competition. So that will be exciting. You also have longer term writing news.
I do since I've seen you last.
I feel like I've heard so much has happened and I feel like I'm in multiple like WhatsApp groups and different things and everyone keeps asking about this thing and you drop that you're doing it and then say nothing more. So here and now, Kate Milton Hall.
Here and now is what I'm doing. The crazy thing that I am doing is I am about to embark on a PhD. It's true. It came about in a sudden and exciting way.
How did it come about?
It came about, became about because someone approached me to ask me if the very loose idea I'd put out there of one day doing a PhD might like to happen a little quicker. And I said, sure.
Goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm doing one, which is really exciting. And it's part of the PRS program at RMIT. Let me just say straight up, I still don't understand all the acronyms and enrollment has already done my head in. Despite the fact that I have been an RMIT student before and I have a student number and all of the things. So goodness knows what it's like for people enrolling for the first time. But, so it's kind of by doing action research. So you just keep doing what you're doing. So I'm continuing to write my book. I'm continuing to interview writers for the podcast. I'm continuing to journal the way that I write and all of my practice can be part of it. So it's really cool. It's an amazing group of people. Amazing supervisors who I get to learn from. It's just the whole deal.
Do you have a special supervisor?
I have two special supervisors. I'm not sure if you're allowed to talk about this. I'm sure you are. My two supervisors are the amazing Ronnie Scott, who wrote The Adversary. Is one of
amazing.
My... And Julianne Van Loon, who wrote The Thinking Woman and is just like the biggest brain in the world. And I'm... yeah, just utterly excited to be working with them and all the other people in the cohort too. So it's really exciting. So PhD, and I'm also, please let us get this under control. People who are protesting, stop protesting. Let us open the border back up with New Zealand because I'm meant to be going on a 1 month retreat. Let me just say that again. Retreat.
I'm like doing a silent squeal.
Yeah. To the Michael King Writer Center. I also did a silent school because it was one of those things, you know, when you go for apply for things, you're like, I'll never get this. And so you don't really think through the kind of cause and effect chain of what might happen when you come back.
Yes. Did you tell Adam prior to applying?
I think I might have mentioned it in passing. I'm going for this. Maybe I said I'm going for an international residency that I definitely won't get. Not sure if I totally mentioned the time frame.
Involved. You logged the application so that then you could later say, I told you, like, what?
We didn't.
We had a discussion.
Anyway, it's very exciting. And it's with Varuna, or Varuna supporting
it's incredible.
It as well. And it finishes with the Verb Wellington Literary Festival. And I just found out this morning, which I'm programmed on, which is really cool. And this morning they just emailed to say, oh, would you like to do this extra event that Emily Perkins is in? And Emily Perkins is one of the people who is who I first discovered in terms of my own reading because she's interviewed in Charlotte Wood's The Writer's Room, which everyone knows is one of my favourite books on writing process. And she's the one who talks about the idea of going where the heat is, and her books are incredible. The Forests in particular is utterly incredible. And I responded to the festival director in what I think might be the quickest, most eager, most uncool turnaround of about 2 minutes from when she sent the email to say, yes, I'll do this because I'm a total Emily Perkins fan. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Will you send her your book before that? Do you do that? Or will the festival do that?
The festival might. I will now. Or I'll just push it in her face like I did to poor Sasha Haller at the... No, she. That I shouldn't say poor Sasha Haller because, in fact, she really did want a copy of my book and she was wearing an ace pink dress. Anyway, that's my news. That is my news.
Incredible.
There is one other thing that we need to discuss because I promised JP Pomari we would discuss this on air. JP Pomari, everyone knows who he is, but...
he's got 1,000 books now, doesn't he?
He does seem to really turn them over quite quickly.
Oh, my God.
He also has a small child, so who knows? He's obviously got double the time. I somehow found a time loop
thing.
He's
Beyonce.
Yeah, he is Beyonce. His last one is called The Last Guest. I have it here somewhere. I haven't got to it on the pile yet, but I'm very excited to. He is participating in something this weekend where he talks about podcasting because, of course, he's got a great podcast too called On Writing. And he said, could you tell me so I can use it, what do you wish you knew before you started your podcast? And I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you straight away. I'm going to use this on our podcast and ask Catherine. So, Catherine Collette, what do you wish you knew before we started the podcast?
I wish...
I wish I hadn't done it with you.
Yeah, that's right. No, I wish I had... Or the advice I would have to my former self is label a draft file in a draft way. Oh.
Why, Catherine Collette? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. Why would you do that?
So a select handful of listeners may have been privy to an inadvertent upload a couple of weeks back.
37, exactly.
Oh, God, the memory of it is just making me cringe.
I'm just so we had this for our listeners is that Catherine can hardly even get the words out.
Oh, my
this is
God.
Clearly so traumatic for her to tell you all.
We had raw uncut footage of one of our episodes that I accidentally uploaded in lieu of an edited episode. So it had us just talking.
Just talking, as we do.
Just talking, saying some stuff. Anyway, we had a back and forth as we realised some very, very kind listeners got in touch and told us that perhaps we were a little more candid than we normally were. And
I think
so,
that was one of the phrases. I thought it was just you guys, and then I was like, wow, Kate's really swearing a lot and they're being very candid.
And so we pulled it down. But far and away the worst part of this experience was I was like, and I think we were in lockdown then as well, so I think your world shrinks in lockdown. The magnitude of this felt very large. I was in a very small room. So I just became obsessed with making sure that it had been pulled down. And I was just utterly, utterly obsessed. So I just kept checking and checking and checking and inadvertently reloaded the episode in my checking haste. And then, of course, checked, you know, half an hour later and it was there. So it sort of validated this...
Reloaded the episode.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
And message, and I will never forget the message that I saw, which is all in caps going, oh my God, I just re-uploaded it. And I was like, what are you doing? Step away.
I must have gone out ashen face to Carney and was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I just reloaded it. And he was like, what is wrong with you? Just get out. Get out. Go for a walk. Don't take your phone
away.
Oh, it was such a low point. But I think I would label things.
Yeah. We'd come up with
a draft or do just like a crappy, because I consciously remember labeling that audio well and being quite proud of how organized I was being in labeling the audio, but it came and bit me in the ass. What would you say to JP Pomare?
Well, what I indeed have said to JP Pomare is that I wish we had never spent any energy on thinking that we were going to make money, or not even thinking that we were going to make money.
That is a good one.
Yeah, I don't think that we thought we were going to give up our jobs or even I don't know, be able to go out for lunch. But we did think that we would be able to cover the costs of it, and we spent quite a bit of energy. Remember the tea towels?
We had a few
different concepts that were going to make us some money. And there's a reason why I wish we had have just settled into it is because I don't see it as a cost now. Like what we got instead, and I think about it, I'm prepping a presentation at the moment about writing character, and I was doing writing about that idea that, you know, a character either gets what they want, or if you don't give a character what they want at the end of your novel, they have to get something else. You know, there's something else that they get.
They get what they need, kind of.
Yeah, kind of what they need. And maybe even if it's not that, but what we ended up getting, like, is
better.
Fourth season. It is better. We're in our fourth season. We have had all of these incredible opportunities. We've gone from, like, going out and buying the books of the people that we wanted to talk to so that we could say that we had them, to getting, like,
floods
numerous
of
books arrive every day.
That is
of people who want to be on the podcast. And we've talked to such amazing people. Plus, there's, like, this little community. I love that. So, yeah, so that's what I said to him. I said, I wish that we, had just kind of taken that part of it out of our brain straight up. But I do think also we were so well guided in the way that we set things up. And this is what I always say to people now, like, yeah, you need your logo, you need your name, you need to be set up with your website and your socials and the rest of it. And Kelly Gardner is the person who told us how to do all that stuff. And she was amazing in doing that, because we have been able to keep on going in pretty much the same way that we started.
Well, I think as well, she really alerted us to the idea of setting something up as though it was going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, because I think unless you are a very famous person that can kind of slap something together a bit half-assedy but already has the following to make people interested in that, you kind of have to, give it a layer of professionalism. lend it some credibility.
You know what we did do to lend ourselves some credibility that I would take back? We didn't need to set up the email, and we're really bad at looking after it. So anyone who sent us an email recently, we're not good at that.
We don't need to. Maybe we should shut that down.
Maybe we should add that to our admin list.
Speaking of admin, have you found an assistant?
Yeah.
I feel like you've made it that you've got an assistant.
No, I don't know that I have. I feel like I'm just drowning in my own admin inbox and piles of, and, you know, I don't know if the tax department listens to this, but I am sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry for how
late
I am.
How many listeners have you so far cited? The tax department, the people you got flooded with. Like, is this, do you just assume everybody you know listens?
Isn't everyone listening to our podcast, Catherine? Isn't that what you tell me the data is saying? Everyone's just sitting around on a Monday morning, like, desperately waiting for it to drop. The only thing that will get me through these last days of lockdown. Anyway, I put out a call, and thank you so much to the people who have responded. I put out a call for someone to help me, and I perhaps caused people some trauma by showing my inbox number that is on my phone, which people regularly, if they glance at my phone and see it, kind of, I don't know.
I have a big inbox number, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real one camp or the other camp thing.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Whether people you can...
Yeah.
Aiming for zero inbox or
the straw that probably, you know, the last straw, it was that, of course, I'm going back to RMIT. I've got to have that inbox set up again. And I was like, okay, I need someone to help me do this stuff. All right. So I put out, someone had suggested to me, my amazing Emma, my hairdresser, said, just put it out to your people, like on socials. There'll be someone who wants to, you know, who is available, who can do that kind of admin job, and they'll tell you how much it costs and the rest of it. And so I did that. And lots of people got in touch, and you're all amazing. But I obviously then caused myself another administrative.
Oh my God, you need an assistant to
respond to all these amazing people. Yeah, I want an empire. Actually, if there's anyone listening who needs an incredibly smart, capable, they're mostly women. There's a couple who aren't women. If you would like someone, I don't know, maybe get in touch and I can hook you up or something. I don't know. I feel like if we were a radio show, we'd have our producer do that, but Phoebe can't do that for us. She's not here.
This is so, you're getting an assistant because you don't have enough time to do admin. So now you've just put a call out. If anyone else wants an assistant, you can hook them up.
What can I say? I like to be helpful. Okay?
That's a really good.
I like to put
good
people
use
together.
Of time. I feel like that's a tough thing though. Like because you have had people contact you. Like And now you have to tell them.
Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. And also, but you know what's been really good? It's been really good because then I was like, okay, well, what are the essential skills in this person that I'm looking for? And a lot of people responded, a lot of people do incredible like content creation and social media management and stuff like that, which I could have a better system for all of that, but I actually really do love it. I love doing that stuff myself. So I need someone to do the stuff that I don't love, which is calendar, booking things, the tax. Did I say about the tax? I don't like the tax. Anything that involves a spreadsheet, as Catherine, you would well know, not something that I really enjoy very much. Also, and I know this is an easy fix and people were very good to also just get on an offer for free, their advice on like, hey, just archive your bloody emails and then you won't have that number.
I've never done that.
Well, have you got a quick fix? Anything that I put in my calendar, I get four alerts, email alerts come to me for every single thing in my calendar. Why? I don't understand how I've done that. Like, I know I am really smart in some areas of my life. Anyway, this person is going to help me fix all of that. So again, thank you to everyone. If I haven't got back to you yet, I will. It's just that I'm keep adding to my admin load.
Well, I'm excited to meet them. I don't know why I would get to meet them.
So am I. Well, they may seamlessly move into admin.
I feel like they're going to follow you. In my head, it's like a proper assistant, I guess is what I'm thinking.
Mm.
Like I see on these real estate shows, they'll have like someone that opens doors. You have a door opener. A door opener, email archiving.
I will not have
an incredible job.
If I am ever famous enough to have a door opener or someone who like, you know, these people who have people who like nick down the shops and buy birthday presents for people like
that's a good
next level.
I would like that job. As in, I would like someone to do that for me.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Well, you trial it. Let us know how you go. Maybe we'll all be getting admin assistance.
Maybe we will. What a glorious world that would be.
Live for that world.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.